Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Can I hear me? Am I on? Can you hear me? That seems like it doesn't sound right. No? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Can I hear me? Yes. Now I hear me. Yes. Praise God. What a great song. What a great song as we get into our passage this morning. Before we get back into our study of the parables, which is where we were at before Easter, I'd like to continue to look at the resurrection from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't want to so quickly move from the resurrection. As we do celebrate Easter, and it is a culmination of many great things, specifically in Christianity, it's everything. Jesus rose from the dead. But the truth is, as Christians, we live that truth every day, and we can easily forget that. So it's good that we have a reset on Easter, but I want to continue with us diving into this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says to the Corinthian church, he says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is in vain. We are found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we, followers of Christ, are all of people most to be pitied. So Easter Sunday, last week, we began this section, the first 12 verses, first 11 verses, about the power of the resurrection. And if you were here last Sunday, if you weren't, just as a summary, the power of the resurrection. It caused the very church, that is the believer, that believes that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, that caused the church to grow, and it still grows. Those who believe that message. It confirmed the truth of the scriptures to us, because it says the death, burial, and the resurrection was all over the scriptures. And so as a believer in Christ, not only do I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that's great, but every time I pick up my Bible, I know it's true. I hope you had some great divine appointments this week. But then, of course, we know the power of the resurrection because it is continually changing people's lives by saving them from their sins. This is the power of the resurrection. I'm not going to redo that sermon, even though I enjoyed it immensely. This morning, again, chapter 15 has 58 verses dedicated to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Kind of a big deal. This morning, I want to consider why we should treasure the truth of the resurrection. We understand the power. I think what Paul addresses in these verses this morning is that we ought to treasure this truth every single day. So, consider things that you treasure right now in your life? What do you value the most? The things that you treasure or the things that you value are the things that are the most important to you. They benefit you. That's why you treasure it. For example, your spouse. I treasure Laura. Your job. Well, my kids too. Of course, I treasure my children. My job. Sports. Anybody watching the Masters? That's it? You guys need to get a good nap in. You can treasure sports. Maybe your house. Maybe a motorcycle. Or a car. When you treasure something or someone, you talk about it affectionately, don't you? You build it up. You brag about it. You put in effort to make sure that that which is valuable is continually treasured. This is what it means to treasure something. So how do we treasure the resurrection? Even after Easter Sunday. That's what Paul's going to tell us. That's what he tells the Corinthian church. By the way, Jesus says we ought to treasure the truth of the resurrection. Even in our studies of the parables in Matthew chapter 13, remember? The kingdom of heaven, the knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection, the truth of the gospel is like a treasure hidden in a field. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. It's valuable. So this week our focus is on the treasure or the value of the resurrection. Why should we value or treasure the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning? And for that matter, every single day. Well, the first reason I want to look through, the first reason to treasure the resurrection this morning, it proves that we have life after death. We have life after death. You ought to treasure the resurrection because of this truth. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? Question mark. If there is no resurrection of then not even Christ has been raised. So in the context of this passage, specifically Paul to the Corinthian church, there were doubts spreading throughout the church that it wasn't that Jesus did rise from the dead. They believed that truth, but they didn't believe that we would rise from the dead. Paul is being very clear. If we believe that Christ is risen, then so will we. Paul says we ought to treasure the resurrection because the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection are joined at the hip. We are linked with Christ. His victory over sin, Satan, and death is our victory. The union with Christ means we share in his resurrection and the resurrection of our lives too. Why is this important? Well, number one, Paul says it again. He has to explain to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Look at this union. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. See, these are equally linked. Christ's resurrection and our resurrection places a value that we can live with today. I know that my life continues past my death, physical death. If you are in Christ, if you are in union with Jesus, you've repented of your sin, of unbelief, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus' work on the cross for your sins, then you need to know there is life after your death. And this truth should bring us such peace. We have life after we physically die. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, who cares? You are not promised another day. Some of you might be here and you are afraid to die. For various reasons. Maybe because you might leave somebody behind. Or maybe because you don't know where you're going when you die. Paul says, if Christ was raised, your faith is in him. And you too will be raised. He said it again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. He says, we're confident, yes, well pleased, to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. This is why we treasure the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me hope after my physical death, which could be today. It could be yours. I looked at the obituary this morning. 100% of people are still dying. It doesn't say, and this person. We are all going to die. That's a great message. It's a great truth. What a treasure that we have in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he has risen from the dead, and so too will we. His resurrection is our resurrection. What else do we learn? Why else do we treasure the resurrection? Not only that we have life after death, but now we actually have a message. We have a message to preach. Look at verses 14 through 16 again. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching's in vain. And your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom if he didn't raise, or did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. Look at the conditional, leave it on there. Look at the conditional sentences throughout these verses. They begin with if. Paul lays out the consequences of a dead Jesus. A Jesus that is still in the tomb. His first conclusion in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. A dead Jesus affects not just the messenger, but it affects the very message we preach. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then preachers of the gospel, and I'm not talking about just me, we are wasting our time. That's what he says. Because of the resurrection, we do. We do. And this is why the unbelievers can't stand the joy that we have to share it. They want you to leave them alone. I can't. I can't leave you alone because I care about you. I have a message, and you need to hear it. Why treasure the resurrection today? Because no sermon, no opportunity to tell someone about Jesus means anything without the resurrection. It's a waste of time. The message, it says, is in vain. In other words, it's completely empty. It loses all of its power if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Again, verses 15 and 16. We are found to be false, misrepresenting. Some of your translations say false witnesses. Misrepresenting God because we have testified wrongly about that God had raised Christ, whom if he didn't raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, even Christ has not been raised. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then those of us who are witnessing of the gospel, who are sharing the gospel, who are proclaiming this truth, we are liars. We're lying. Paul said, if Jesus Christ has not been raised, then Jesus himself is a liar. Because he said he would rise from the dead. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, once again, Christianity collapses. We misrepresent God. And we are proclaiming a lie. Why treasure the resurrection of Jesus every day? Because it actually gives us a message. It gives us a purpose to share with people that Jesus did die and rise from the dead. He does declare victory over our sins, and he gives me hope when my physical life ends. It gives me a message to share. It is, therefore, good news, which is what the word gospel means. Which leads me to my final reason in our passage to treasure the resurrection. Not only do we have life after death, praise the Lord, we have a message to share, praise the Lord. And the third point is we have now hope. Now you could say that the first point and the second point point to this hope, and I would say I agree. But I think there's something even more specific Paul's addressing about this hope. Look at verses 17 through 19 again. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope only in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If the only hope we have in this life and not have eternal life, we are to be pitied by the world. Any suffering that you're going through, any persecution for knowing Jesus or following Jesus is completely meaningless. Why suffer? Why get persecuted by unbelievers if this isn't true? Look at the suffering that Paul went through, and yet he says it's worth it. In 2 Corinthians, he tells the church, he says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, and that's not what I did in college. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea. Yeah, it keeps going. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold, in exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure of me and the anxiety from the church. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. Without the hope of the resurrection, is it really worth it to live for Jesus? To live, to preach, to believe in Jesus Christ against all of the persecution, the suffering. And if Jesus is not alive and not give hope of a resurrection, it's no wonder he said, we have to be the most pitied people ever. Here's the truth. The Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is worthy of our faith. He is worthy of our lives living for him. The resurrected Jesus makes it all worthwhile. To live a life of faith in the midst of persecution and suffering. A dead Jesus not only provides no hope for those of us who are living for him, he provides no hope for those who died before us. It says, fallen asleep, those that have perished. If this is true, then they have no existence past the grave. Death still has a sting. The grave still has a victory if Christ isn't raised. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, there is no hope now, and there's no heaven later. Our loved ones are lost, and hopelessly so. And someday, that will be true of us, if Christ has not been raised. If Christ was not crucified and is not risen for our sins, believers are wasting our time. We are pitiful, pathetic, fools who have believed lived, and died for a fable? But praise God. Here it comes. Look at verse 20. But, another one of those great but gods. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We who are in Christ, we treasure the resurrection today because it is a truth that gives us hope in the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of all of it. We have hope because this is not the end. This is a good reminder for us this morning to treasure, to value the resurrection of Jesus every single day. So let's walk through a few applications. The first one, the resurrection assures, it does assure life after death. So the question remains, will you spend eternity with Jesus? The resurrection assures that there is life after death. You will either spend eternity separated from a God who created you or in union. His resurrection is your resurrection. His victory is your victory. But you must put your faith and trust in the truth of what the cross represents, which means he died for your sins, all of them, especially the first one, which is your unbelief. You must repent of that sin. Turn to him and ask for forgiveness. Believe that his work on the cross and his resurrection is a truth that you now believe. By the way, that's why we have this word. God wants you to know. 1 John 5:13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Follower of Jesus Christ, this is a great truth. You can be sold out for Jesus because you know this isn't the end. The resurrection assures us of life after death, and the question remains, application-wise, will you spend eternity with Jesus? And then secondly, the resurrection gives us a message to share. And so it's a good challenge to us. Will you share the message? Is there anybody you're sharing the message with? And listen, those of you who are sharing the message with people, that's all you're called to do. You can't make anyone believe this truth. For 26 years, I rejected this truth. I don't care who told me. And the Bible even talks about even if God came out of the sky, there are people that still wouldn't believe it. Our job is to share the message, period. Because we have a message, don't we? It's good news. It's great news. I love what Paul tells the church in Rome. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There's lots of people who are going to reject this message. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Will you share this message? If you value, if you treasure the resurrection of Jesus, you can't wait to share. So pray for an open door. Pray for the boldness and pray for the clarity to give the truth of God's word to someone. That might be a good application. It will be and it is for all of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The third application is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope. Will you walk in the hope of the resurrection despite whatever circumstances you're going through right now? Again, we're not in the job of comparing trials. Some trials may feel like they're pretty heavy, and some trials maybe to some may feel light, but it doesn't matter. Whatever trial you're going through, can you walk with hope? Because that's the testimony that God needs you to have for the people that don't understand how you can have hope in the midst of your circumstances. The power of the resurrection, the treasure of this resurrection, causes all of us to look past our circumstances, look past our trials, and trust Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." Amen? That's somebody who has a perspective. That's somebody that's walking with hope. He writes to the Philippians, as it is, and by the way, he's writing this from prison for sharing the gospel. "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is the testimony. He wants you and I to suffer for his sake. When you do this, it will point many people to Jesus. The power of the resurrection, the treasure of the resurrection, means everything. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder again in 1 Corinthians 15 that we don't get past Easter. We live in Easter. For it is everything to us. And Lord, I pray that it would be a challenge to everyone in this room, both the believer and those who are searching. To the believer, that we would truly treasure the truth of the resurrection and that it might impart the very power of the resurrection in our lives. And then to those who are contemplating the truths of Jesus, as they consider any of the religions of this world, what makes Christianity different is our God is alive.
Amen.
I pray that they would search the truth, that the very whole in their heart might be filled with the truths of the resurrection. I pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, let's sing a final song.